From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Russian authorities say a bomb caused a train wreck that killed 26 people and injured more than 100. A second bomb found on the tracks between Moscow and St. Petersburg partially detonated today. NPR's Anne Garrels has more details on last night's fatal derailment.
First, investigators found a suspicious crater. Then they say they found residue of explosives. Officials are not saying who they believe may have been responsible. However, as terrorist attacks have increased in the predominantly Muslim region of the North Caucasus, Russian officials had warned they might spread to areas around the capital. This particular train line, popular with business executives and government officials, was bombed 2 years ago by suspected Chechen fighters. Initial reports today suggest prominent Russian business figures may be among the victims. Trains are a relatively easy target in the remote area where the reported blast occurred, 250 miles from Moscow, made it particularly difficult to reach for emergency rescue teams. Anne Garrels, NPR News, Moscow.
Britain plans to host an international conference on Afghanistan in late January. Reuters News Service reports Prime Minister Gordon Brown announced this weekend that talks will address plans to gradually transfer control of security to the Afghan people so that international forces can be reduced in that country. A dozen inmates in Afghanistan are still at large after a daring prison break. From Kabul, NPR's Tom Bullock has more.
The escape seems straight out of Hollywood. 13 convicts in an overcrowded prison secretly spend more than a week digging a tunnel to freedom. Officials in Afghanistan's Farah province on the border with Iran only learned of the break after arresting a suspicious man walking the streets late Friday night. He later confessed to being part of the tunneling plan, which, he said, took 10 days to complete. Farah's police chief say the prisoners were low-level Taliban and drug traffickers serving sentences from 8 to 20 years. And, he adds, officials are now investigating the guards at the prison to see if any were complicit in the escape. Those guards have been banned from leaving the prison grounds. Tom Bullock, NPR News, Kabul.
Rioting broke out today in Geneva against a World Trade Organization conference due to begin on Monday. Authorities say protesters vandalized cars, shops, and banks. Police and riot gear moved in to disperse the crowds. Police blocked off roads to the WTO headquarters, which has been barricaded for several days. At least 98 people are reported dead from floods in Saudi Arabia this week. The country suffered its worst rainfall in years as millions of Muslims from around the world gathered for the annual Hajj pilgrimage. But authorities say none of the pilgrims were among the dead. You're listening to NPR News. In Bangladesh, the search continues for victims of yesterday's ferry accident. So far, at least 32 people are confirmed dead, but scores are still missing. The ferry was carrying about 1,000 people when it sank as people preparing to celebrate an Islamic festival disembarked. Japan launched its fifth spy satellite into orbit today. The first spy satellites were sent up in 2003 in response to North Korea's missile program. NPR's Anthony Kuhn has this from Beijing.
A Japanese-made rocket carrying the $565 million satellite took off from a space center on the southern island of Tanegashima. Japan's cabinet office said the satellite would gather intelligence for defense and diplomatic purposes. Japan has previously relied on the U.S. for much of its intelligence, but Tokyo now seeks to develop capabilities of its own. Japan's Mainichi Daily newspaper reports that the device was an optical information-gathering satellite, which works in tandem with a radar satellite. The report said that with two pairs of satellites in operation, Japan's government could photograph any spot on Earth once a day with a resolution down to several inches. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Beijing.
An investigation is underway into Tiger Woods' SUV accident outside his Florida home early yesterday morning. The PGA star was treated at a hospital and released in good condition. Authorities say that no alcohol was involved, but pending the results of the investigation, charges may be filed. Police say they attempted to talk to Woods yesterday and were going to try to do the same today. I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News in Washington.